We are going to, God willing, over the next number of nights, look briefly at the subject of people of faith. I think I mentioned at the opening prayer about the Lord raising the flag of faith in our hearts. And if that can happen, then blessed will be the results, as this chapter would verify from beginning to end. Now, we could begin and probably should begin with verse 4, that's Abel, or even verse 5, which is Enoch, two tremendous examples of faith in action. But we're moving on to verse 7 instead tonight and talking about Noah, rather. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Noah lived in a day pretty similar to ours, in that it was a day of iniquity. And iniquity abounded all around him, and for that reason, God moved in judgment against the world at that time. He also lived in a day of grace, and for at least 120 years, as he's constructing the ark according to God's blueprint and tying in entirely with God's dimensions, there's opportunity given. Preaching goes on. Questions are asked. Christ, as in pictured through the ark, the one refuge for guilty sinners, is presented. So Noah was living in a day of grace, as we are today. And though people on the Raven Hill Road don't realize it, and Ardenley Avenue, and all the offshoot avenues and streets off the Raven Hill don't quite appreciate it, they're living in a time of grace, where God is giving space and providing grace by which to repent. But Noah loved the Lord, and he worked solidly in days of apostasy. There was a lot to discourage him. Everything was traveling in a direction opposite to which God was pushing Noah. And so, living in a day of apostasy, departure from the Lord, sheer darkness on the religious front, here's a man who kept close to God and kept living as well as he possibly could for the Lord. But notice some things about faith, because that's the dominant aspect of his life here, and in fact the dominant aspect that's highlighted about all of the people that are mentioned in this wonderful chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. What did faith do in Noah's life? That's what we want to look at briefly here. One thing that it did was, faith heard the voice of God in the middle of the clamor of all other noises. Faith heard the voice of God. And that is so important. There is such confusion of voices and a whole din of voices going about in the world today. For example, at the weekend, people were listening to country signals, and they were thinking, you know, heal our land, that'll be a good thing. We pray for that, don't we, in Chronicles 7:14, etc., that God would heal our land. We need revival. We are so conscious of that. But I'll tell you how it'll not be achieved: by going up to Nutt's Corner, as people did on Saturday past, and praying with Roman Catholics shoulder to shoulder, thinking that is going to bring down the blessing of God. That will rather bring further blindness. And it's an expression of blindness that people today are so far removed from biblical truth that they cannot see that the God of Romanism is not the God of the Bible. And the route along which those prayers are being offered are not through the once and for all finished sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because that is the only avenue over which God will hear prayer. There is much confusion. There are people even on the fringes, or even well-heeled in terms of being a free Presbyterian for many years, and they're thinking, this is a wonderful thing, great development, let's be part of it, let's pull down the barriers and freshen up and get involved there. What faith does is, it hears the voice of God in the middle of the clamor of other voices, and it detects that still small voice and can identify it as being God's voice, despite all the others who were saying, didn't Jesus warn there will be those coming saying, I am Christ? You need to discern between the claims, and you need to recognize the true voice of God in the middle of it all. And Noah caught in the middle of the din around him the voice of God. That's what faith does. Not only does it hear the voice of God in the middle of the clamor of other voices, it obeys God's voice. No matter how contrary to human reason that seems. I mean, build an ark, why? Where's the water? Why would you ever do that to this kind of scale, massive, expecting all of these animals to come on board? Why would a man ever do that? Well, a man would only ever do that because there is nothing out there that would point it to be a reasonable thing to do. He would only do it if God has said it. And that's what happened. God spoke, Noah listened, and Noah did exactly what God told him to do. And so we read in Genesis 6 and 22, just as God revealed to him, so did he. Faith hears the voice of God, no matter what other noises are being emitted all around. Faith obeys the voice of God, no matter how opposed to human reason. Don't be foolish, Noah. Why would you do this? I'll do it because God has spoken. The work of faith as well is to do the will of God even though you appear to be the only one doing it. That's a big test of true faith. It's to do the work of God even though you appear to be the only one doing it. We don't do it that way anymore. Isn't that what the church says so often today? We can't do it that way anymore because that's not what the people want. They want you to accommodate the scriptures to their desires and their philosophies, and they want you to keep diluting and diluting and diluting until there's no orange in the mix and you're back to water. The work of faith will do the will of God even though you appear as you do it to be the only one that is doing it. And I know for so many, you're the only Christian, say, in your office. You're the only Christian in your workplace. You're the only Christian on the hospital ward. You're the only Christian in the factory. You're the only Christian in the schoolroom, in the university class. I read just yesterday, I believe it was, about a university professor standing up and saying, I'm going to swear, I'm going to blaspheme. Any objectors? And that's a test. Because if you object, you're likely the only one that'll even think of objecting. But the work of faith is to do the will of God even though you appear to be the only one that's doing it. Step into the shoes of Noah, because that's what he did. The work of faith also is to go on with God's work in spite of all opposition and discouragement. And we have been involved in the work of God for quite some time. So we know opposition comes. You know, we think we're just getting over the hill and things are about to take off. And then a guided missile comes in and bang, it just takes out the vehicle we're in. How did that happen? Why now? When the wheels were really turning and the whole vehicle seemed to be well greased and oiled and we were making progress here at a rate that we had been yearning for but never able to achieve for a long time. But now, bang, opposition and discouragement comes in. Can you imagine what it was like for Noah to keep felling the trees and planing the wood and getting the planks in order? And all he's getting from the outside is, that crazy boy's up again. And you know, it's like getting up in the morning and somebody, maybe they're going to work and they're up early, And, you know, the grass is being cut, and you're thinking, what? I'm not even sure that's legal to be cutting the grass and making that kind of a racket this early in the morning. Well, Noah, what are you at? He's at it again. There's that head case. Listen to him. But no, he wasn't. He had plenty of opposition, plenty of discouragement, but faith kept him doing God's work in face of all of that discouragement and opposition. And the work of faith is to accept God's judgment without questioning his justice. Noah was preparing for a day of judgment. That's the reality. God had said, their sin has come up into my nostrils and my justice forbids me to take it anymore. I will judge man. And Noah's working against that background, knowing judgment is coming. Don't we know that? The people around us are going to be judged. That's what's going to happen. The word declares that. And he didn't, though he knew God's judgment is coming, he didn't rebel against that. He accepted that without questioning his justice, because he knew, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? It's up to me to do what he commissions me to do. God is perfect in his love. He is perfect in his mercy. He is perfect in his grace, perfect in his goodness, perfect in his truth, and he is perfect in his righteousness and his justice too. And so the work of faith was to live and to labor in the light of what was a solemn reality. Judgment is on the way. And then the work of faith is to proclaim the message of God, no matter how unacceptable or serious that message is. People didn't want to hear. There were two sides to Noah's message, two sides to ours. Simply this: their salvation for all who will enter into the ark. But there's judgment for everyone who won't. And that's what we proclaim still today. There's salvation, full and free and forever, to all who will enter into Christ. But there's no salvation anywhere else outside of him. Only wrath and judgment. But when faith is flying like a flag in our hearts, we will proclaim this message of God. It's not our word, it's his, no matter how serious or unacceptable, as far as society is concerned, it is. And then a final thing, the work of faith, as it did in all of these cases, secures faith's reward. It secures the reward. Because again, you read in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah is advantaged here because he becomes the heir of the righteousness which is by faith, and the blessing spreads out among Noah's family, because they were saved as well. And so we find he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What kind of faith do we have? Can we hear the voice of God? No matter what other noise is going on out there, do we obey that voice? No matter the fact it doesn't add up to what reason dictates we should do? Do we do the will of God even though it seems at the time you're the only one, you're the odd man out? Nobody else wants to do it, nobody else wants to know but you. Why you? Well, faith will keep going even though we're the only one it appears to be doing it. The work of faith is to go on with God's work in the face of all the opposition that comes our way, and opposition will come. It is to accept His judgment without questioning His justice and perfect character. It is to keep announcing God's message, no matter how unacceptable or how unpalatable that message appears to men around us, because if this flag still flies, there's a reward at the end of the day that the devil can't match and nothing else can match. The reward of faith. He saw salvation in his own house. And what a blessing, chief blessing, that is.